you know, with the mediation sessions and the potential court case, we can get there at some point. It's not a good situation for anybody at this point. So we'll continue to work at it.
Let me just respond, because I think a lot of us grew up in situations where we didn't grow up in luxury. We had to learn to do with that, without. You know, it's very uncommon, even in the public sector, to get to a point where every need or every desire can be met. What I've been asking for is something more than just me and one other prosecutor. And that's really the core piece of it. I understand and recognize tight times, tight resources, and other issues. And I do understand, and I thought I understood. That's why I tried to begin the whole process in both counties with a new revenue stream. That didn't work out in one of the two counties. I think from my perspective, we came close. So I tried to begin in the whole process of trying to bring additional revenue. I think I've tried as much as I can to try and work on the situation.
Henry, this is Ray Garcia again. When you put these proposals in front of the voters, the proposal then you asked for approximately $580,000 from Los Angeles County and about $270,000 from Huerfano County. And yet the amount that your office has been receiving from Los Angeles County is about twice what you had proposed. We in Huerfano County are contributing approximately what you thought you would get from the revenue on that proposed. But now you're asking for even three times that. And the combined amount, when you first asked for this proposal to go in front of the voters, the combined amount was around $900,000, and now you're asking for a million more than that. I'm wondering, I just curious as to why so much. Another thing is that we've asked for a long time for an audit, which we haven't received. And I think in reality, all of this should be combined as the Third Judicial District and not separated into two different counties. I realize that we have to split things according to population, but still, when it comes time like for an audit, why does Huerfano County not get a copy of an audit for the Third Judicial District DA's office and not just for Huerfano County?
Well, first of all, I had sent before the meeting a copy or an email to my office administrator to give you all a copy of the 2019 audit. I sat down with Mike Dixon in June, and he provided a clean audit. Basically, he was going through the final sit down. I haven't seen the final audit. I know he filed it for us. And I've asked that be delivered to you. And that's different than the 2017 situation where we had an exemption. But Ray, I will be honest with you in the sense, not that I've ever not been honest, I don't mean to say it that way. When I came in the very first year, I didn't know specifically in firsthand what the level and rate of crime was. That's the first thing. The second thing, but I now have a better feel, and I've given the numbers before. I think for Huerfano, if I remember correctly, and it's been in some of the stuff we've shared, we had the first year I was here, and that was where Steve Sullivan was, was handling the felonies, 159 felonies, then it went up to 285, then it went up to 324. It essentially doubled. And part of that was the fact that you all, the voters in Huerfano, had expressed their views about a police department that may or may not have been, probably wasn't doing what people wanted. So there's been more cases filed. But I think the other piece of it was, is because I had made a personal commitment that we would not dismiss cases for lack of resources. And I kept up as long as I could. If you talk to former Chief Judge Appel, and I've done that a lot, or Clay McKissick, or Pat McCarville, what they will tell you in Huerfano is that the nature and the volume of crime is vastly different than it ever has been. Patrick McCarville will talk about having a docket that's maybe 20 cases in the past. Chief Judge Appel would concur with that. Towards the end of last year, I was sitting down with dockets on a daily basis that had 40 to 45 cases. And they weren't just simple, easy cases like before. So Ray, I underestimated, because I hadn't been here before, what the need was. But I think the real issue is the dynamics in the crime has changed.
Okay, I think that's fair, Henry. We'll do the very best we can. You know, we've been struggling mightily in terms of budget. We did add about $120,000 or $130,000 to your budget over the last several years. We want to help you, and just, you know, knowing the statistics does help. But we still have to be able to find the money, and we don't know what programs we could cut to try to make this situation better. But we'll continue the conversation and see if we can, again, add a little bit to your budget. But, you know, I just have to forewarn you, an extra $500,000 is not there. We can't do it. So we will do the very best we can, and look forward to continuing conversations about this matter and figure out how we can resolve it to make it work for the taxpayers and voters in Huerfano County. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Huerfano County. We'll move over to Los Animas County. Questions from county commissioners at this time.
Mr. Solano, good morning. Commissioner Felix Lopez, thank you for sharing that information with us. One of the, I'm following up some of the legislative bills that are coming out through the Senate. Senate Bill 20-217, Enhanced Law Enforcement Integrity, could possibly carry a fiscal note that we do not know exactly what that's going to be. One of the points that that I really opposed from the beginning on this particular bill, and I had an opportunity to actually visit with some of the law enforcement entities, is the qualified immunity. I think it's there, but it's going to put a lot of pressure on the DA in the event that we have cases where the police use of force is implemented. There is a window of time whereby the footage has to be released. What kind of pressure is that going to put on your agency to be able to, within 45 days, get that information released, should we have to do that? And then second, how many cases involving a police force do we have in Los Animas County? If you can elaborate on that and see what kind of a fiscal impact this is going to be putting on Los Animas County.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I guess I've had, since I've been here, the requirement and the obligation to file or write three excessive use of force opinions involving police and death of individuals in Los Animas County. The first one started out and it involved one of the deputies and the individual who attacked one of the sheriff's deputies with a pitchfork was on, if I recall correctly, 600 nanograms per liter of meth. The ordinary, what I call the high user volume in their system is, according to the research I did, was 200 nanograms. The second one involved another individual who was well known to our system and basically not an overly aggressive person, but on the night in question, he had over 1,200 nanograms of methamphetamine per liter in his system, and he had a shard of glass as he was being contacted by law enforcement on a welfare check. They weren't even going to try to arrest him, and he lunged towards them. The last one is the one that you all may remember, which was the shooting that occurred just above the shell, the McDonald's, the on-ramp on the south end of town. That individual who pointed a gun at law enforcement had over 3,000 nanograms per liter of meth in his system. In each of those instances, it is regrettable, but the use of force I determined was within the law. Now, the law pretty much gives a lot of deference and discretion, constitutional law, because that's where it comes from. The statutory law you're talking about is asking that law enforcement use de-escalation techniques and other techniques. I'm not opposed to that. I think that makes a lot of sense because we've all seen and heard of some of the unfortunate and I would call unlawful circumstances. My worry is the impact it's going to have on the law enforcement officers in terms of how many veterans will stay, how many won't stay. But I can tell you that in two of the three cases, let me confirm that because I'm digging into the resources of my memory. Two of the three cases had body camera footage. The toxicology reports didn't come out within 45 days. I actually had to very carefully and slowly freeze frame each of the two body camera footages, the two sets for the two cases. And you have to be very meticulous and careful in doing that in terms of determining things. In all three situations, I met with the families before I finalized the report and published the report. And I can tell you that their immediate reaction after reviewing the body cameras was to still disbelieve or see in the body camera what they wished to see. And I understand that. I mean, it is very traumatic to each of the family members. So I think the body camera should be released, but I'm very concerned that 45 days may not be enough, because in these particular situations, it is the toxicology report or reports that came back that added a lot of context and understanding to how the situation developed, why the individuals basically couldn't control themselves, but also with them holding weapons in their hands was an unfortunate, deadly situation. It will cost more. And early release of the body cam footage can probably create more disruption, even though it should ultimately be released.
A follow-up for that, Henry. As the district attorney, do you have any control over say a shooting or some high profile type case of not allowing that, or would that take a court proceeding?
The release
of the footage.
I understand exactly what you're saying. It falls into two categories. During the pendency of the investigation or investigations, because sometimes more than one defendant might be involved, it is my position that the body camera footage and the like is still part of the investigation and is not and cannot and should not be released. But once I make a final determination, then while people may not be able to get access to the DA's offices, files and records, it then goes back to law enforcement, and whatever is their procedure and protocol is what governs. Many times I will argue that the release of some body cam footage is still under the current Criminal Justice Records Act, even for police departments, may release information that details how law enforcement investigates cases and other things and could be used adversely against law enforcement. And so when I'm asked, there are a lot of times when I say it shouldn't be released if it has the kind of things that will allow people to understand how you investigate or process crime scenes. If it doesn't do either of those, and this is separate again from when we've got it in our office and it's not releasable because it's part of an investigation. After that, if it doesn't impinge on those two things, then the sheriff or the police department, the police chief, can release it. They're not required to release it under the current law. But if this law comes into effect, even though it's a matter that's under investigation, that law, that statute would trump any authority I have to keep body camera footage and other information related to a pending investigation from public view.
Okay, thank you. I have a question on the budget under capital outlay for you, Henry. Since we're almost complete with the renovations of your downstairs and the upstairs, will we continue to see about $15,000 annual for computers, copiers, furniture, or do you see a reduction in the next year and moving forward?
Well, the $15,000, I think, if you look at the line item, is the cost of the copier, the rental of the copier, and the rental of the phones. That's sort of going to be that will be an ongoing. But if you look several lines below, where you'll see equipment replacement, that number should probably drop significantly.
Okay. I wasn't sure what that you were leasing, or if you were on a program with a company. So.
Yeah, we've got leased equipment, both for phones, the not just the phone service, but the phones themselves, and we changed to CECOM as the provider, and then the copier. We will need 3-4 copiers for both, two each for each office, since we've now renovated some space down in the basement in Huerfano with the juvenile diversion grant money, so that in fact my office is downstairs in the basement and we'll need a copier down there.
Thank you for the clarification. Any other questions from our commissioners?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, one more question. Mr. Solano, on the line item that you have consultants, accounting, audit, and IT, you have $40,000. What is the breakup of those three functions?
You know, I have to go back and look at it. I believe the accountant, although we went into a new accounting company and they're cheaper, I think it's probably almost a 50-50 split between the two. But I can get back to you on that. I just don't have the underlying detail with me.
Thank you, sir.
And what, as I've indicated, one of the things, because it's my understanding, Frank, Roy Valette, or the DA's office used to have their own accounting person, and then things got all screwed up. I looked at the issue of whether or not we should hire our own or not, and I think a fee for service on the accounting is still the cheaper way to go if you get the right accounting company. And I think the company we have now, Century, there in Trinidad, is the one that is cost effective, but also very responsive. The prior person used to charge for every report I'd asked to be run. They'd charge a separate fee for running each report. Felix, Commissioner Lopez, you know how, as a manager operator, you want to be able to have, even if you need it on a weekly basis, a run as to where you are on different expenditures and different projections. And it was unfortunate the prior person would charge us that, but that was the relationship that I inherited to begin with. But I think the new person and new company will be better for all of us.
Thank you.
I have one other question for you, Mr. Solano, on the audit that we're going to be receiving hopefully the next day or so. Do you know, if you do know off the top of your head, if there was a fund balance on that audit and what it was?
There was a fund balance, and the fund balance, I believe, was, and it's really kind of Mike Dixon had to explain it because there are different ways through accounting principles that they were doing it. But I believe, let me not speculate on it. It's close to over $100,000 as a fund balance. Part of that was tied to the fact that we had equipment that we didn't purchase. Remember, there was a delay in the construction and other things that you had funded in the supplemental budget for 2019. The other part was the fund balance that's tied to both the Tabor Reserve and then the Financial Auditors Association Reserve that is recommended. I think the two of those alone, I think the $34,000 is what Tabor requires. And then the 3% or 3 months operating is probably another $60,000 just off the top of my head. So those two combined, which we now for the first time keep in the office, Frank never did, or none of the prior DAs did, but working with Mike and the accountant, those two numbers add up to about $100,000 themselves.
Okay, great, thank you. Do we have any other questions or comments from Los Angeles County Commissioners? Or Ms. Christy Cobley, do you have any questions or concerns?
I have no concerns, no questions.
And if I could add, again, and I said it last time, you know, Christy has been invaluable and very helpful. She's not only performs a function for you all, but she's a good resource. And every question she's asked, has not only been appropriate, but she's also made suggestions that have been very helpful. And I think in my conversation with her, the last go around in terms of budget documents, I think without putting words in Christy's mouth, I think we finally, and I know both sets of commissioners had struggled with my predecessor and early on my efforts at trying to prepare a budget document that was not only understandable, but reflective of what we were doing. I think John Galusha was, I remember that meeting, John, in your office, where John also was part of it. Excuse me, but I think we now have a budget format and model that is more informative than it has been in the past. But maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, thank you. As we all know, money solves all of our problems. Well, I wish a lot of luck for moving forward for Huerfano County. I know we are fortunate to have our available appropriations from Los Angeles County. We were all in the same boat just a couple short years ago with funding. So good luck to everybody moving forward. And thank you all for your time today. I also like to say one more parting of the ways to Commissioner Vinzani and Commissioner Garcia as we are going out to pasture. Thank you for your service for your county and for our communities. So thank you, everyone. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I echo those comments. Thank you, both Ray and Max. Pleasure working with all of you. And Gerald, sir, we look forward to working with you and perhaps John Galusha. Welcome aboard. And certainly, I want to make a motion to adjourn this meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you, Felix.
I'll say kudos to you, Max and Ray. It's been a pleasure working with you, and Gerald, look forward to it, and I'll second the motion.
Thank you.
Go call, please.
Yep.
Roll call.
Commissioner Haas.
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Yes. Commissioner Vinzani?
Yes.
Commissioner Garcia?
Thank you.
Yes.
Commissioner Gerald?
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much. You guys all stay safe. Be careful with this new snowstorm coming in. And God bless you all. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.